Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Thursday morning, Thursday, November the 2nd, 2023, 17 minutes past the hour. And what does the beginning of November mean? It means election time is just days away. November the 7th, election day here in Marion, just days away from now. Now, we have to do this for our own good here at the station. Our election coverage will begin on Tuesday, November the 7th, starting at 7:15 p.m. We've got Pastor Craig at Republican headquarters, Linda Sims at Democratic headquarters, Matt Morgan at the Board of Elections, and in studio, I will be there with Sean Kraft, Terry Tackett, Carrington Nelson, Mary Ellen Withrow, and Glenn Coble, who is one of the candidates for mayor that night. And I don't believe it has ever happened this way in the history of Marion, but you can check me on this. I don't think we've ever had a live candidate getting the results of their election for mayor in the studio as the night progresses. So that will happen next Tuesday night. You're not going to want to miss it. We're not going to break away. When we go on at 7:15, we're going to go until all the races are called, and we're all preparing for a long night that night because voter turnout is high right now. Early voter turnout is high, and with those two big state issues in an off-year election, we're all expecting voter turnout possibly in the Marion area to be near 20,000 people. 12,000 turned out in the special election back in August. And with things going on out in River Valley, we talked about that yesterday. That's a hot issue. It's going to be a big night. But as I said, we are going to elect a new mayor in the city of Marion next Tuesday night. After 16 years, our current mayor, Scott Schertzer, will be vacating that position after 16 years. It is either going to be the Republican, Bill Collins, which, by the way, Bill has agreed to call in on election night, win or lose. So we will hear from Bill Collins that night as well. And the Democrat, who we know very well around this station, he did a show here for 3 years, Glenn Coble, joining us this morning with just days left to go. This all started back in late January, early February, and now we are in the home stretch. What, 5 days to go now? We're so glad to be joined this morning live by Glenn Coble. Glenn, good morning. We're in the home stretch.
We sure are. How you doing, Scott?
Doing well. How does it feel to be, I was there when you were thinking about this back in January, and to know now that we're 5 days away, just a weekend away, how does it feel?
Well, it's kind of hard to put a finger on it. I was thinking about that, I guess it was yesterday, while I was tearing the signs off the side of my vehicle to go have it repaired. And I was thinking, well, you know, this is almost over. And then the thought hit me, and thank goodness. And then the other thought hit me, well, that's a shame, because this has been pretty good time. I mean, I really enjoyed getting out and talking to people. As you know, we decorated up my RV and all sorts of banners and stuff, and I went out and parked it half dozen different spots for, you know, every other day we were out parked somewhere, and got people honking their horns at us and waving at us and stuff like that. It was kind of exciting. I really kind of enjoyed it, and I'm going to miss it, whether I win or lose. And quite frankly, whether I win or lose, I will be happy that the contest is over. It's kind of grueling.
Well, you know, I think a lot of candidates feel that way when it comes to raising money, when it comes to being out there, shaking hands, getting your name out. For somebody who might want to run for office, because people will be announcing that very soon after this election, what advice would you give them from your experience?
Wow. think about it long and hard. Talk it over with your family. I know my wife was not real thrilled when I told her. Make sure you know what the commitment is, and if you know you're weak in certain things, like I am terrible in fundraising. I will ask a person once. If they say no, I won't go back. And the fundraising seems to be one of those things where you just have to keep hammering people about money. And I quite frankly don't do that well at all. And if that's an area that you're not good at, you have to figure out what you're going to do anyway. If you're not good at getting out in front of people and doing your public speaking, which you have to do, I'm pretty good at that, but you have to figure out whether you want to do that sort of thing, and if not, what are you going to do to circumvent that? There are a lot of things you need to think about. And then probably the most important thing, I think, is do you think you could do a really good job at what you're being elected for? If you don't, then my suggestion to you is you just back off of it. There have been people that have said they're going to run for office and then just didn't do anything and didn't get out there or anything because they decided they really didn't want the job. That was something I toyed with early and then thought, well, no, I do. I would be good at this job. I think I would help Marion out quite a bit. So I think you have to weigh all of those things. And you have to get real honest with yourself. You have to tell yourself, don't try and fool me. You're talking to yourself. Don't try and fool yourself. If you don't think you can do it, you probably shouldn't get into it. That's what I would suggest.
No,
be
it's
very honest with yourself.
Well, no, I appreciate it with days left to go. And speaking of honesty, throughout this campaign, I have asked you continuously if you would get the current mayor, Democratic mayor, Mayor Scott Schertzer's endorsement. I had continually asked him up until his last appearance before the election last Tuesday morning if he was going to give you his endorsement. And here we are 5 days away. And as of last Tuesday, and I know you heard that interview he did on this station, he said he was not going to give anybody his endorsement. He was going to go in the Jack Kellogg playbook and not endorse anybody. And he gave reasons as to why he was not going to do that. What are your feelings on not getting, because you had continuously said you would like it. You weren't going to beg for it. You weren't going to crawl for it, but you would like it if he did that. You also made some comments in public on programs we had done about you had some disappointment in the mayor about the way he had handled your campaign, helping you. To hear what he had to say last week, what'd you make of that?
Well, he's a politician. He's got his own thoughts, and I appreciate that. I don't think, if I were in his position, I don't think I would handle it the way he handled it. But I understand it, and it really doesn't bother me. I know a lot of people would think it should bother me, but it doesn't bother me. He's a man with his own thoughts. I'm not really much in favor of endorsements anyway. My endorsement will happen on Tuesday night. Either I will get an endorsement from the city people, or I will get an endorsement to step down by the city people. And that's really all I care about. I really don't think it's going to hurt me one way or the other. Scott's a fine person, and I was disappointed when I listened to your interview with him. I might have said to you on the message line that maybe I should have been more outgoing and gone to him and asked him. Now, the thing that surprised me is that he said, well, I would have, he didn't even ask me to put a sign in my yard. Well, it would have been just as easy for him to say, hey, I'll put a sign in my yard. I see him every other Monday up at the city council meetings, but, it doesn't make much difference to me. We have never been great friends. We've always been very cordial to each other and like each other, but we haven't been great friends, so why should I worry about that?
I do have one question on the audience's behalf, because I did get this question after the mayor appeared. In that interview, when we got to that point talking about endorsements, he said he had made himself available to both candidates. And one candidate, now he did not name names, but he said one candidate had taken advantage of that on several occasions, and one did not. Now, you being one of the candidates would know who has went to him and taken advantage of that several times and who has not. Can you shed some light on that for the listeners? They were very curious about that.
Well, if he made himself available to me, that would shock me. I mean, he never said to me, hey, why don't you come on up and we'll talk about your campaign. Not once did he ever say that. The only time we talked about my campaign is when I said, well, I'm not sure whether I should run or I shouldn't run, and he said, you should run. It wasn't me, obviously. Obviously, he talked to my opponent more than he talked to me. That's fine. I listened to everything he did tell me, and he has offered suggestions throughout my political career. You know, all the way from running for city trustee to running for state rep to this time. And I listened to what he said, and I put it into the old brain box and come out with my own decisions. And that's the way I run things. I run things by the way I feel is best for me. And I don't ever remember him contacting me and saying, or even saying at one of the city council meetings, hey, I'm available anytime you want to talk to me. I don't remember that once. But he did wave at me at the last one.
Well, there you go. And one more thing on the mayor, then we want to talk about issues here, because I think that's what this all comes down to. In that interview, and this will be a paraphrase of what he said, and I think I'm remembering this correctly, but when we were talking about the endorsement and the mayoral race that was coming up here, he had talked about a candidate not just running to fill a gap. I think he did mention that in that interview, should not be a reason that a candidate runs. And you have said on the record that the reason you ran is because nobody else was running from the Democratic side, and you felt that the Republican side should not go unopposed. So for the mayor to say that, I would guess that he has probably heard you say that in the last, I guess it's been nearly 11 months now of your campaign. What do you make of him making that comment?
Well, initially, that's why I jumped into it. Probably in the first month, I said things like that. But I did that soul searching. I did that thoughtful work about whether I'd be any good at it. And ever since then, I was trying to figure out if there was a day that has gone by in the last, 11 months, whatever it is, that I didn't do something toward my campaign. And there is not one day, Saturday, Sunday, Monday through Friday. Every day I have done something to further and better my campaign, from getting out, talking to people, to getting out in the RV and driving around and making sure people see my signs, putting signs out, which unfortunately several of them have been taken down. I don't know why, but I've done something every single day. You know, it's my wife. I've done something just about every single, not just about, I have done something every single day to further my campaign. If I wasn't working hard enough, I would understand that. But it wasn't like I wasn't working for it. So I don't think, maybe in the first month I said things like that, because I really did jump in, as I felt it was absolutely horrible that the Democrats hadn't posted somebody to run for mayor. If there had been somebody that was running, there wouldn't have had to be a what's the first election called?
Primary.
There wouldn't have had to have been a primary, because I wouldn't have run against them. But I ran because there was nobody there, and so therefore he was right. That's what I said when I first started, but after I did my soul searching, I felt that I would be the best campaign, or the best candidate for the position, and I still do.
And again, just to click, because I believe this has all been on the record in interviews we had done, I think a lot of people found that statement a little curious by him, because in interviews, I think you had said, and I think you might have even said that in the last interview we did, that you had went to him prior to getting the signatures to be on the ballot and had let him know that's why you were running, because nobody else was running, and he encouraged you to run. There's still some ambiguity on if he encouraged or didn't encourage.
It's a semantic thing.
But there was a meeting.
They all please run.
Yeah, I guess there was a meeting where in which you said, and correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, that should I run, I'm going to run because nobody else is running, and he said yes, and then a couple weeks before the election, he says you should not run just to fill a gap.
Yeah, well, I don't understand that either, but I'll tell you the way I remember it, and you may remember it differently. I went in on a Monday morning, I think. He told me to come in and talk to him, because I at that point, I was thinking, well, the Democrats have to have somebody in that position, at least to give the people of Marion a choice. And I went into the office on a Monday morning. I can't remember. There was one of the lawyer friends that we have in the Democratic Party, and I can't remember which one it was. But anyway, I went in, and those two were there, and I went in, and I said, well, I know that I don't have much time to get this done, so, you know, I basically said, I hemmed and hawed and said, well, do you think I probably shouldn't go for this? I was kind of negative when I went in, and they both agreed, no, you have to run. So I did.
Now, based on that...
Is that not encouragement? I thought it was.
Well, people will read into that whatever they may. And the final question was, in that particular interview, when I asked the mayor, clearly when he said he was not going to endorse anybody, who was he going to support? Because he will cast a ballot for mayor in the city of Marion, and I imagine for the first time in four terms, it will not be for himself. And he would not really give us any insight into who he would vote for. So I'll just ask you this. Do you think the mayor is going to vote for you on Tuesday?
Well, I tell you what. If you had asked me that and I was in his position, I wouldn't tell you either. I don't. My mom and dad told me you never tell anybody who you vote for, ever. And I've lived by that. I tell my wife, of course, but nobody else. And what was your question again?
Well, the interesting thing about that the mayor would not let on to who he was going to vote for mayor. But the interesting thing, I think, in that same interview, he had talked about Ayers Ratliff and the support he had thrown behind him, and that clearly, I think a vote was going to. I don't know if he lives in Ayers district or not. He might not. I don't think he does. But people have come on and said they were supporting the governor's candidate, the gubernatorial candidates in Ohio. And I assume when you support somebody or you endorse somebody, that means you're going to vote for them. And in this particular case, he kind of says, I'm not endorsing anybody, and I'm not going to tell you who I'm voting for. And I think it's interesting to a lot of people, because he's a Democrat, you're a Democrat, and I think that's what shocks people a little bit.
Well, unless he's angry at me for some personal reason that I have no idea, I think he'll vote for me. I really do. Believe me, I will ask for his help if I become the mayor of Marion.
Yeah.
I won't feel sheepish about asking for the former mayor's help at running the city, because he was good. He was a good mayor, I think. Four terms of being a mayor, and I think he just got worn out of being a mayor. I would have been if I was him.
Now,
yeah, I think he'll vote for me.
Now, as far as the Democratic Party goes, what help have you gotten from them in the last 11 months?
Not nearly enough, and not very much. Our Democratic Party is kind of weak right now. Everybody's a little afraid of sticking their nose out there, because they know in the last election, I think we averaged probably under 30% of the vote. And nobody wants to go out knowing full well they're going to get their head handed to them. Now, when I first started, I really thought I was going to have my head handed to me. But I think with all the issues that have popped up, and I beg of those of you who want to vote for me because of where I stand on the local as well as the national things, I beg of you to go out and vote. I also beg of you to tell your friends to go out and vote. I'm a very middle-of-the-road, what I would call, Democrat, but I am progressive. I believe we need to get out there, and we need to vote for causes like better gun rules, the right for a woman to choose for herself what goes on in her body, that type of thing. And I am progressive on those things. I honestly believe we have to go that way. If we don't go forward, if we aren't progressive, we're going backwards. And backwards doesn't sound like the right direction to me.
Issue two, the recreational use of marijuana, is that something you...
Pro.
Okay.
I am now, very pro.
No, I'll tell you, it's...
I do not use marijuana. But I don't think... I agree with the proponents of that. They're saying, isn't it a better choice than going out and getting drunk? Going out and smoking a joint. I think it probably is a better choice. You may not be, you'll be happier, and you may not be, I wouldn't go out and drive while I was high on dope, but I think it's a better choice for relaxation, and I know it's a better choice for people that are using marijuana to... overcome some of the symptoms they have, like arthritis and things like that. I know from people have told me that are suffering from, really bad arthritis, that they've used marijuana to relieve the pain. And, I'd rather see them do that than go out and get drunk on beer and raucous. Beer tends to make you a little bit crazy and pot tends to make you a little bit sleepy and hungry.
Well, you brought up something there, Glenn, that is kind of interesting, and I've been hearing rumblings about this in the last few days as well, is that in the beginning you were seen as a long shot for a lot of reasons. Number one, in the last election here locally, you said the Democrats averaged about 30%. Democrats have not won offices locally in quite a while, unless they were either unopposed or won by a very slim margin, or it was an off-year election. Not a lot of help from the local Democratic Party. A lot of candidates have said that over the years. But then here came these two state issues, abortion, issue yeah. one, and the legalization of marijuana, issue two. And what I'm hearing from people, well, what we know for sure is that early voter turnout is even above what it was in August here in Ohio. And 12,000 people turned out for that special election in August. Normally in an off-year election, we may have 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people. It looks like we're going to be closer to 20,000 and may even break that in Marion County. And I was hearing from people who talked to people about elections, and particularly the mayoral election, and that there is some concern now, possibly. I didn't hear it from Bill Collins, but there is some concern in that camp that maybe this will be a close race. Maybe Glenn Coble could win this simply because the people who are going to vote pro-abortion and pro-recreational marijuana tend to be Democratic voters, new voters, and they are just going to vote the Democrat on the ticket.
Well, I think you're, I hope you're right, but I also, the problem is, how many are going to get out there? And that's why I asked earlier in this interview for people to get out there and vote. How many people are just going to say, I'll just pass. I don't feel like getting out and doing that. It takes you, what, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes to go vote. Please get out and vote, especially if you have belief that need support like those two things. Now, I've said all along that I am in favor of both issue one and issue two. I have also said all along that I believe that we need to have some sane gun laws, background checks, and that sort of thing. I think we need to make them stronger. Not that I want to take any guns away from hunters or people who want to protect themselves. That's not it. I would like to see us go back to the ban on the M16s, not the M16, well, that's the military one, that's the AR, whatever, 15, and I think it would be a good idea to reduce that type of gun. I've been told by a lot of people, well, you can, if you say you can't have one, they'll find other ways. Well, make them find other ways. Make it be illegal, you know, that type of thing. Anyway, people that believe in those three things will vote for me because I have come out and said I'm in favor of those three things. I don't think, and maybe he's told you, I don't think my opponent has said anything about issue one or two or about gun safety. Has he said anything about it on your interview?
Not to me, no.
I've never heard him. Therefore, if you are not saying anything about it, apparently you don't care about those things. That's why I think the people that want those things and find those issues and things that I have talked openly about, I think those people should get out and vote for me, and I think they ought to do it right now because time is running out. Tuesday's right around the corner.
Now, just and just to be fair here, Bill, there are a few days left here. If you want to come on and tell us how you feel about those issues or anything else, the door is open. But yep. Glenn, because of this high voter turnout that normally would not happen in this off-year election because of these two issues, because of what I just said, how confident do you feel that a win could be pulled out on Tuesday night from what was considered a long shot back in February and March?
I still think of myself as a long shot, but I think the win is there if enough people get out to vote. If the people who really care about those things that we just talked about get out and vote, I think I have a good shot at it. Now, if Bill comes on and says he's in favor of one, he's in favor of two, he'd like to see more sane gun laws, then maybe you'll have a choice you have to make. But right now, there's another choice. Are you going to support the Republican Party that's running its national campaign on lies, evil, calling people names? That's crap that I did when I was 14 years old. Now, come on. that's why you should vote for me, because we don't need... We don't need people that want to lie their way into office. We don't want people that want to call other people names to run them down so that they can get in office. We need somebody that'll be straightforward, honest, say what he believes, which I have done this entire time, including some of the things I just talked about. A lot of people would tell me, oh, don't say anything about that. Leave that alone. And I know a couple of those people probably will tell me that later. But I want you to know, as a voter, exactly where I stand. And I think where I stand is the moral and right place to stand.
Now, I do want to bring up something to you, because the big issue right now in the city, for sure, is the city auditor, Miranda McGinnis. Now, Miranda is running unopposed next Tuesday, so for all intents and purposes, she will be the next auditor. But in all of this, we do know that the mayor has called for her resignation. At least two city council people have called for her resignation. And last I knew, and I do not know what the update on this is, but as of a week ago last Monday, Ayers Ratliff told me in an interview that he and Jason Schauber and the mayor and I believe Mr. Rollins, the councilman, were going to sign paperwork and send it to a probate lawyer to have her removed from office because she's made it very clear that she's not going to resign. What's your feeling on the whole auditor situation? Because certainly the next mayor is going to have to deal with this.
Well, I know people will say, well, you're going to sound weak when you say that. I feel sorry for her. I really do. I hate seeing her get grilled by these people at these city council meetings. I watch her look on her face, and I'm sure she, it seems to me that she doesn't want to be making bad decisions. She just doesn't seem to be able to do things in a timely manner. But upon saying that I feel sorry for her, I think she should resign. She's had too many opportunities to correct things. Now, if I become mayor and she hasn't resigned, one of the first things I'm going to do is sit down and talk with her and say, what can we do to make your job easier so that you can do it the right way rather than let things fall through the cracks or roll down the sidewalk? She seems to, you know, just not be able to pull the trigger when it comes to getting things done. And I think, you know, if we sit down, and I could say to her, now, what can I do to help you get these things out of your hamper and move forward? I think people can always be helped. As long as they have an honest feeling in their heart that they're trying to do a good job, I'm going to support you, especially since you can't get rid of her and you need an auditor. I will give her at least two good chances.
So you, at this point, you feel that she should resign, but if elected, you would not be an elected official who would sign paperwork that would forcibly have her removed.
Not initially, but eventually, if nothing was done, I would, yes.
Now, the campaign between you and Bill Collins, by all accounts, has been pretty civil on both behalfs, both candidates. Yeah. I don't think there's been any nasty barbs thrown that I can remember in either direction, which is nice. But I did want to ask you about a campaign ad that Ayers Ratliff, who's running in the second ward, posted on October 25th, just because it relates to the auditor. Now, this is and we talked about this last week on the program. This is the ad that Ayers has put up in the final days of the election. It's Keep Ratliff, Second Ward City Council. With an incompetent city auditor, we need an experienced city councilman. How does that hit you?
Well, we've had, I think, several competent city councilmen, both Democrat and Republican, for a long time. And we've had pretty rough going with the auditors for the last two terms. So maybe the auditor doesn't have as much power as they think they do over the councilmen don't have as much power over the auditor as they think. But maybe I'm wrong. And this new legislation they're trying may or may not work. But if I'm selected as mayor, I'm going to give her at least one chance. We're gonna sit and talk for a couple hours about what we can do to make it right. And that's the way I think we should run government. We should sit down. If I disagree with you, I want you to tell me why I'm wrong, and I'm not going to get mad at you. I'm just going to listen. You know, I believe in listening.
Well, and it's I guess my main question here is, in a campaign ad, clearly what is a campaign ad, is it okay, in your opinion, to refer to the current city auditor, which is what this is doing, as incompetent, and do you feel she's incompetent? That's a little different than saying she should resign, she's in over her head, those sort of things, to just say you're incompetent. Is it okay to use that in campaign literature? And do you believe she's incompetent?
Well, the first thing I would do is figure out what is incompetent. That's kind of tough. She's the only competencies that you have to have as an auditor is you have to get voted in. There might be an age thing, but you have to get voted in. That's the main competency. So obviously she's cleared that hurdle. I would never run an ad like that. I don't believe in calling people names. Not that that's a name. If he's truly incompetent, then that's the way he believes. So I'm not going to say he's wrong. I'm just going to say I wouldn't do it because I wouldn't know whether she's competent or not. I wouldn't be competent as an auditor, so therefore I wouldn't know how to tell whether a person's competent or not. It doesn't take too long to realize when you're sitting listening to the responses she gives our city council people, it doesn't take too long to realize that maybe she's not aggressive enough in her attempts to get things done. I'm not saying that right, but I know what I mean. but I don't know. If I do become the mayor, we are going to have a long talk to talk, the two of us. And I'm going to find out why these things have gone on. She may have honest-to-goodness reasons why they were. Maybe she was a victim of somebody trying to get even with her. You know, I don't have any idea why she couldn't get. She was asked to provide information time after time. And each time I went to a city council meeting, they'd ask her, and she said, well, she hadn't gotten the information yet. Maybe she would do it the next time. And the next time it wasn't done either. So I understand their frustration. Council people.
I think it's important for people to know this. If you are elected mayor on Tuesday, you will assume that office on January 1st, 2024. Does a Glenn Coble... what would you call it? Glenn Coble as mayor, what does that look like? What can you do for the citizens of Marion?
Well, I didn't bring my notes in with me. I have lots of notes on things that I would do. But I think the way it would look is the first thing I will do, and it's one of the things that my dad was great at. My favorite teachers and coaches were great at it. I would sit down and listen. I would have the best experts I could get come in and tell me what's going on. I'd have people like the auditor who is struggling come in and tell me what's going on. After listening for a couple of months to everybody under the sun that has an opinion and that I respect their opinion about, and I respect almost everybody's opinion as long as it's based on fact and not, little white lies. I think from that point on, I will start working. I will pull out the most important thing. And the city auditor thing might be one of the most important things. But I will pull out things like, one of the things that was brought up to me is all the noise that railroad trains make. Well, there are laws that you can use to make those railroad trains stop honking at crossroads, as long as the crossroads are well protected. There are the homes that are blighted in the city. There are ways to bring them down, and those, that type of thing. Now, Mayor Schlitzer has done a terrific job of taking care of that. I think he told me that they had gotten rid of about 500 homes, and I don't know how long, but that's one of the issues. Another one of the issues is I think the city council and the mayor have done a terrific job of encouraging downtown beautification, downtown strength, and I like the idea. I still don't like the way you have to park across the city hall where you have to pull out of the traffic without looking, without being able to see, but that might be one of the first things I do. No, I don't. I will leave that up to the traffic engineer, because I'm not one of those. That will be what I do. Right there is what I will do. I will find the experts, and I will put them in charge, and they will tell me. I will weigh things, but they will tell me what's best, and I will work from there.
Two quick questions here. I know everybody's positive going into an election that you will win, but you said you feel you're the underdog. If you do not win on Tuesday, do you ever see yourself running for another office? And if you do not win, what do you see yourself doing?
If I don't win, I won't run for. I was planning on running for this office. I think it's about the way I started. No, I don't like. It's hard work. It really is hard work. I'm in my later years, and I would like to relax. I'd like to drive out to California and see my son. Then I'd like to drive to North Carolina and see my daughter. Then I'd like to drive to Worthington and see my other son. I'd like to see my children. I'd like to be able to travel around in my RV. I like spending time with my wife, even though sometimes we struggle. But, everybody does. My wife and I get along pretty darn well. And I want to spend more time with her, being able to, fix the plumbing. I hate doing that stuff. But I want to be a hero in my family's eyes. And that's what I'm going to work on.
Now, because of your age, which is no secret to anybody at this point, 77 years old. We've had this discussion for months now. And last time we talked, yeah, I know. And I believe the last time we talked, you had said, because it is interesting that the last two mayors, Jack Kellogg and Mayor Schlitzer, both served for 16 years. Between two mayors, we had 32 years of time pass. And there's a lot of talk about term limits. There's a lot of talk about should people be in office that long. That being said, being 77 years old when you would be elected to this office, if that should happen Tuesday, I think gives you a little different perspective. And my question has always been, would you run for any more than one term? You would be 81 years old at the end of your first term. And I think we got 99% that it was one and done the last time. Days before the election, this is the last time people will hear it, I think, or hear me ask it, would you ever seek a second term if elected Tuesday night?
Okay, let me flip that around. 0.1%, I might. If that's as vague as I can get, I'm not tending to, no. But that also leads me to another thing that I plan on doing if elected to mayor. I plan on finding somebody in the Democratic Party, I hope, or independent. It doesn't make any difference to me. I plan on finding somebody that can step in and run for the office, win, and be very good at it. Somebody probably half my age or around there. And I would actually probably prefer to have a female. I like female legislators. They're willing to tell you what they think. They're usually honest. There are a few of them that annoy the heck out of me, but there are way more males that annoy the heck out of me that are politics. So, yeah, I will not be. The only reason why I would run is if absolutely nobody came out to run for the office as a Democrat. And that's not going to happen, because I'm going to work very hard to find somebody that would be good at it. campaign manager, Dr. Terry Brown, would be a fine person to do that job.
Let me say this then. So just so the audience can hear this, with days left to go, the only circumstance under which you would run for a second term would be if there was absolutely nobody else running, and you said you are not going to allow that to happen. That's one of your goals as mayor. So are you in essence saying this is a one-term mayor regardless?
I would say pretty much so. My health is pretty good. I mean, I have, you know, my my problems, and I'd rather not talk about them on the air. But we all have some health problems. Some of us have more and less, and mine are very well taken care of. I don't have any doctor telling me, hey, you got 3 months to live or anything like that. I feel very healthy. Walk 5 times a day. I feel really good. So, I think if I really had to, I could run again, but I don't want to.
So
time is good.
So just, and not to put any words in your mouth, so one and done is it?
Pretty much. I gave you the 0.1% chance, but that's slim.
That's slim.
And Slim is leaving town.
I do want to let people know two things here, that Glenn will be on with Linda Sims this morning. So everything I forgot to ask, Linda can ask this morning, or everything Glenn wants to say that he didn't get out here, he will be able to say.
And it's in your new dig.
I know, that's right. You'll get to go down to the new place today. Tell everybody how that looks when you're down there. That'll be 10:15 this morning. 10:15. Glenn will be on with Linda, so don't miss that. And
I hope I can find it.
Oh, you will. You will. You will. You've been there.
Right?
And I also want to let people know Glenn will be with us on election night, starting at 7:15 p.m. And he will find out with the rest of us if he wins or comes in second on election night, live in the studio.
Don't feel too bad for me either way.
Okay? Well, Glenn, we look forward to it. Have fun on Linda's show, and I will see you Tuesday night.
Very good.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, Scott.
Glenn Coble, Democratic candidate for mayor, and again, Bill Collins, if you want to come on before Tuesday, the door is open. I'll be back in about 15 minutes.
The place for the best guests and talk.